Our lesson text will be Isaiah 37, starting with verse 1. I'm going to read down to verse 20, so it'll probably help you if I'm going to read several verses of Scripture, if you have a Bible in front of you, and we'll read along with me. I do ask that God would bless the reading of His Word. What an honor it is for us to be able to open up God's book, to know that it has been passed down to us through the generations by the faithfulness of God, the blood of martyrs, the faithfulness of those that have penned it down and kept it and preserved it over time. And as was said this morning about the book of Isaiah, reading about 700 years or so prior to the time of Jesus. And what I'm going to read this morning is a portion of the book of Isaiah that is an historical account. If you've read the book of Isaiah, you know most of it is prophetic. Most of it is words from God through Isaiah. But this portion, even though it is as much the word of God, this portion is telling us some history about what happened during the reign of King Hezekiah. And I'm going to read these 20 verses of Scripture. "And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it," and what he's referring to there is accusations against Judah from the king of Assyria. They were under threat of attack from this kingdom, and the military officer had just laid out a tremendous threat from Assyria on Judah, and Hezekiah was very concerned. "And as he heard it, he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth, and he went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth unto Isaiah, the prophet of the son of Amos. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and of blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not enough strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh," and that's the military officer, "whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left." So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. And Isaiah said to them, "Thus shall you say to your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words that you have heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And he heard say concerning Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia, He has come forth to make war with thee. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah. And he said, Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, Let not thy God in whom thou trust deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given to the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the king of Assyria have done to all the lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezpah and the children of Eden, which were at Telasar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arphad and the king of the city of Seravim, Hena and Iva? Now this is where I want us to focus our attention. And Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messengers, and he read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord and said, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which has sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria laid waste all the nations and their countries, and have cast their gods into the fire. For there are no gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. I want to stop there. I know it was a difficult reading, and I'll summarize it here in a moment. But I want us to focus on verse 14. It's when Hezekiah received the news, the letter from the king of Assyria that messengers had sent him, and he received troubling news, accusations against the Lord, and threats against Judah. And Hezekiah received this letter, and it said, he received the letter from the hand of the messengers, and he read it, and Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord, and he spread it before the Lord. And my thought for today and for our message that God has laid upon my heart is having confidence in the day of trouble. Having confidence in the day of trouble. Now some of you, when I read these names, and there are a lot of names that I don't know the background on them, some of the kings that were listed and things like that, but I think it's important for us to know something about the background of what's happening. King Hezekiah, of course, we told you, was during the years about 700 B.C. He was the 13th king of Judah. His name means to take courage, or that the Lord has strengthened me, or strengthened by the Lord. When you read the names in the Bible of different men that God has used, the names mean something. Hezekiah was a king that the Bible says in the book of 2 Kings that he did right, did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He's what you would have called one of the good kings, one of the ones that had a heart for God. He began to reign over Judah when he was 25 years old. And he reigned over Judah for 29 years. Some of you might remember the story of Hezekiah about how he fell ill when he was yet a young man and had been about 10 years upon the throne. And the Isaiah came to Hezekiah and said, you're not going to recover from this illness. And Hezekiah went to God and he prayed and he poured out his heart that God would heal him. And the Lord came back and said, I will not only heal you, but I'll add 15 years to your life. And he said, you'll know this because one day there'll be a day that the hand of the sundial turns backwards. And that'll be a sign to you. And not very long after that, Hezekiah went out to the sundial and it went backwards. God not only stopped time, he reversed time in order to demonstrate that he was God and he was going to heal King Hezekiah. Hezekiah was really an interesting character in the Bible. When he took over the throne of Judah, he made sweeping religious reforms. He went into the temple and those that were before him had allowed idols to even be worshipped in the temple of God. He threw out the idols. He crushed them. One of the idols was the brazen serpent that Moses had used. And he threw out that and he crushed it and he had it demolished and he called it Nehushtan, which means it's just a piece of brass. That God is not made by man's hands, but God is a spirit. He's the maker of heavens and earth, and he alone is the one that is to be worshipped. And he put out an edict to all of Judah that it was only legal to worship one God, and that was the living God, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Amen. He also rebelled against the king of Assyria. And he said that in his day, no more would Judah pay tribute to the nation of Assyria. And Assyria grew very angry and began to attack Judah. It was during Hezekiah's reign that Israel was captured. And the northern kingdom was destroyed, and Hezekiah saw that happen. And you know that he was fearful, and even gave offerings unto his enemies, hoping that they would stay away from Judah. But even his offerings weren't enough. They continued to attack and threaten the nation of Judah. And just as they captured Israel, they had a desire to capture Judah as well. You heard the word Sennacherib. I don't know if I said that right, but that was the king of Assyria. Assyria was the greatest military power of this day. They owned or dominated most of the region in which Israel and Judah existed in. Its capital, the city of Nineveh, was one of the greatest and wealthiest cities of that day. Many of you will recognize the name Nineveh because of the prophet Jonah, and about how that he fled from Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And it was experiencing a time of great civil rebellion. The king before Sennacherib had mostly everything under control, but when he died, there was a tearing away of the Assyrian kingdom, and Judah was just one of the nations that said that they would not pay tribute. So they sent a man by the title of Rabshakeh. And I read that name in your hearing. That was a title for the, we might think of it like the Secretary of State, a great military official that came in. And before I read chapter 37 and chapter 36, Rabshakeh came in and he began making sweeping threats against Israel, against Judah, and against the Lord, the God of the Bible. And he said things like, if you don't pay tribute, then Judah will fall, and none of the gods of any of the other nations have been able to stop us from conquering them. So pay your tribute, or we will conquer you. And what makes you any different than any other nation? Hezekiah, troubled by this, he went to the prophet. He said, call for the prophet Isaiah. We've heard from the king of Assyria. We've heard from Sennacherib. We've heard the voice of Rabshakeh. We need to hear the voice of the Lord. So he called for Isaiah. Isaiah went to God on the nation's behalf, and God sent back through the prophet. He said, do not be afraid of the words of Rabshakeh. Do not be afraid of the words of Sennacherib. God will deliver Assyria to your hands. Now, this was quite a prophecy, because there's no reason why that Judah would be able to defeat Assyria. Assyria was the great empire of their day. But Isaiah said, God will deliver them unto your hand. If you fast forward just a little bit, and I'll give you a little bit of a heads up, that after all this took place, God sent the angel of the Lord in the camp of the Assyrians and defeated in the middle of the night 185,000 people while they were in their sleep and saved Judah. But Hezekiah didn't know that at the time, and he heard the word of Isaiah, and so did Rabshakeh. And he sent a letter and he said, do not let God deceive you. What makes you think that you're different than any other nation? Just as we've destroyed all these other nations and all these other kings, we will destroy you. Tell Hezekiah he better give in. And Hezekiah got the letter, and he called it a day of trouble. And I want to talk today about what we do when we have a day of trouble. You see, we all have trouble. We all have things in our life that happen that conflict our souls. All of us do. Even the best of God's servant, and I might even say sometimes especially the best of God's servants, they find themselves in times of trouble. Hezekiah was a good king. He had done the right things. He had ordered and ruled his nation righteously, and yet he could not get over the threats of the Assyrians. And he said, this is a day of trouble. You see, it's like a woman that is getting ready to bring forth her child, and she gets to the point of delivery and doesn't have the strength to carry it through. So that's how we feel as a nation, that we've come to the precipice. We've come to a place where now God has brought us all this way. He's delivered us by mighty works, but yet now we don't have the strength to carry us through. It's a day of trouble, Hezekiah said. Have you ever had days of trouble? Whenever you had troubles without and troubles within? There are times where we live our lives wondering if we're going to be able to make it. I thought it was interesting this morning in Sunday school when Brother Gerald, the Sunday school superintendent, he began talking about prayer. And I thought, that's what a lot of my sermon's going to be about today, about prayer, about what we do whenever we find ourselves in trouble. And he said, what's one of the first things that you say whenever you wake up? And I think a lot of us could relate to this. We stick our feet on the floor and we look out the window and we'll say, Lord, thank you for another day. But we also say somewhere right along there, how am I going to make it through this one? Because some of us live in our lives and we're always confronted with trouble. We have conflict in our lives. And it's conflict that we don't want to be there, but we can't help it. It's just that God has allowed it to come in our lives for some reason. Sometimes the trouble that we have are things that are within. We have troubles inside of us. It's not that we can see anything on the outside that's wrong, but there's something wrong inside. I think even about whenever we were sinners and whenever God had dealt with us and we began to see that we weren't right with God, I think the best way I can describe the way I felt is I felt like I was in trouble. Not with another man, but with God Himself. I knew that I had committed sin and I looked around and it was fine with everybody else. It seemed like things were going on just fine on the outside, but I had trouble inside. Man. I want to just say about that, that's a good kind of trouble. Man. Sometimes whenever we feel a troubling inside of our heart, sometimes it can be a good thing because it causes us to move. It causes us to do something. And I'll say today, one of the worst places that you could be in is if you're outside of the will of God and you don't sense any trouble inside of your heart. Man. That is a scary place to be if you have a testimony to say that I know that things aren't right with me and God. I know that I've got to do such and such. I know that I've got things in my life that are causing me to be separated from God. And maybe you're lost, or maybe you're a child of God that's not serving Him the way that you should. And you say, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know that it's there and I'll take care of it someday. I want you to know someday will never come until you finally get in trouble inside. Man. You see, I think about Hezekiah. He got the letter. His heart began to be in trouble. He heard the voice of this messenger from Assyria. He said, this is a day of trouble. We are in a conflict. We can't ignore what's going on. There's a problem. Man. And I'll just say, if you've got sin in your life, or if there's inner conflict about something, the one thing we shouldn't do is ignore it. I think that sometimes it's good for us to have these things inside of our hearts so we'll do something with it. If you just ignore it, then you just pretend it's not there. I want you to know it's not going to go away. It's going to be nagging. And you might be able to soothe your conscience for just a little bit to get it to go away for a while. But the worst thing that a person can do whenever they have trouble inside their heart is just pretend it doesn't exist. Isn't that about the most fake way that we can live, to deny our inner voice that God has given us, and even the sense of trouble that we sometimes have? You know, I know sometimes people say, I know I should join the church. I know I should be a part of God's people. Then why aren't you? Well, I'm just kind of waiting for the right time. You know, if God has put it upon your heart, we need to do what God says for us to do. There's a song that says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And friend, we need to obey the Lord. Our hearts will never be the way we want them to be inside. And I'll say, we've got a lot of good things around us. The other day I sat down and was eating lunch with my granny. And she volunteers at the hospital. And sometimes I work over at the hospital. Sometimes I'll pass through the cafeteria right about noon and I'll see her sit down and I'll get to sit down next to her. And it's the time I get to spend with her, because with all that's going on, sometimes it's hard to get time. And so I always look at the clock, and however much time I have, I give it at that time. And so I sit down next to Granny, and she was asking me about my trip, and we were talking about the things that were going on. And I said, you would think that with how much we've been blessed, with nice homes and paved roads and good food and health, that you would look out here on the streets or in the cars where people are driving, and they would be perpetually smiling and whistling and singing praises to God. But do we see that? Is it because there's so much problem on the outside? No. Most of us have it pretty good, but sometimes there's a trouble on the inside. Sometimes trouble does come from without. Sometimes we have family trouble. Or sometimes we have trouble with our boss at work. Or sometimes we have trouble with some relationship that we have that it's broken. Or sometimes we have financial trouble. And there's all kinds of troubles that can come from without. In fact, the Bible has promised us in our life, especially as Christians, that we're going to live a life of troubles from without and from within. That we should just expect that there's going to be conflict. And if you had some idea that you'd get saved and then your whole life would be rosy, I want you to know you had wrong expectations. Yes. You know, as long as you're not doing anything, the devil tries to leave you alone. You know, if you're just passively going through life, wasting your time, he'll just kind of let you go and waste your time. But when you try to start serving God, when you, like Hezekiah, make religious reforms in your home, and you start saying things like, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. As for us, we're going to be in God's house. We're going to read the Word of God. We're going to pray together. I want you to know, you start making decisions like that, and all of a sudden, all of hell breaks out against you. And you know, that's what Hezekiah was going through. Lord, haven't I done the right thing? Sure, he'd done the right thing. But sometimes when we do the right thing, trouble finds us because there's a war going on. There's a war going on between good and evil. It's not a war of flesh and blood. Right now, everybody's trying to get us riled up against one enemy or another in the flesh. And I want you to know, there's not a man on this earth that is our enemy. The Bible says that our enemy is not flesh and blood, but our enemy is principalities and powers, ideas. You know, we're in a battle that's a spiritual battle. And those ideas get a hold of people. And those ideas will make them to appear to be our enemy. But God's Word says, look, your enemy is something greater. We have an enemy of our souls that's combating us and trying to fight for our well-being. And so we have trouble. And it can either motivate us, or it can discourage us. Yeah. Now, as a believer, I think that when we get in trouble, we need to be motivated to go to the Lord. But you know, so often when we get trouble in our life, we're actually demotivated. We begin to shut down. We begin to say, well, what's the use? Hezekiah could have done that. Said, what's the use? I've done everything I know how to do in serving the Lord. I don't know anything more that I can do. And yet I still have these people knocking on my door and sending me letters. And my army's not as strong as theirs. And Israel was captured. And what's the use? But he didn't do that. And that's what's on my heart today to share. Hezekiah, he got the letter that he received, and he read it, and he didn't throw it away and say, I'm going to ignore it. He went to the house of God. And he got down upon his knees, and he took the letter. And he rolled it out before God. And he said, Lord, I want you to read this letter. Because the words on these pages are too much for me, but I know they're not too much for you. Man. You see, whenever we've got trouble in our life, trouble in our heart, trouble from without, trouble from within, we need to renew our confidence in God. Man. And say, Lord, you know what's going on. You can see Hezekiah laid that letter out before God. He spread it out, the Bible says, that he wanted him to read it. He wanted to make it in the light under the Lord's viewing because he knew if God would see it. Now, didn't he know that he'd gotten the letter? Didn't Hezekiah know that God knows everything? Sure he does. But he prayed anyway. And that's what I really saw in this, is that sometimes we're tempted to not pray because we say, well, God knows he allowed all these things to happen. But Hezekiah got on his knees and he went to the house of God and he renewed his confidence in God and he began to pray. And here's how he prayed. Lord, here's my trouble. You know the letter that's come. You know my military is not as strong as I need it to be. You know that I'm in trouble. God, you know all things. And that's why I bring this to you. Hezekiah called upon the Lord. And he read the letter out to him. And he said, Lord, I need you to hear this. I need you. It's not so important that we say that God is on our side. Our desire should be to be on God's side. Because God's side is always right. It's always the place that we need to be. Hezekiah called upon the Lord, and here's what he did. And I think this is a good example for us when our hearts are troubled, when our lives are troubled, when we have conflict without and within. The first thing he did was he acknowledged that God was the creator of all things. Amen. And he said, what? Look at what he said. Look at what he said. He said, Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, and here's what he said. O Lord of hosts, God of Israel that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. It's good for us as God's people to remember that God is in control and made all things. We've got to keep that perspective, that there's nothing that falls outside of God's hands. Now, we don't always know why God allows something to happen. And we're not even entitled to know the answer to that question. I mean, how many of us, when we pray, instead of exalting God, we say, Lord, why? Why me, Lord? Why am I having to go through this? And we start pitying ourselves. Hezekiah didn't pity. He just said, Lord, I want you to know, I affirm, I acknowledge that you are the creator of the heaven and earth. So he knew if he made it, he's taking care of it. Right? Is there any that's higher than God? Is there any nation? And see, that's what he was getting at. There's no nation that's higher than God. There's no king that's higher than God. There's nothing higher than God. Do you live with that peace in your life? You can. If you remember that God is in control, you can live a life of peace. Now, trouble coming at you all the time, but peace because we know the one that's the author of all things. We know the one that's in control of all things. He also implored God to open up his eyes and to open up his ears. Listen to this scripture. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which has sent to reproach the living God. You see, sometimes when we pray, we need to ask that God would intervene, even though we know that God's eyes are never closed. And even though we know that God never sleeps. And even though we know that God's in complete control, sometimes we need to say, God, would you do? Would you listen? Would you look upon this thing that I'm going through? If you're lost today and you say, well, you know, I don't know what to even do. I feel like I've come to the end of my rope. You can just pray to God and say just that. God, open up your eyes to my situation. Open up your ears to my situation. For I am troubled and I don't know where to go. Lord, you know my heartache, you might say. You know the brokenness that I feel. You know that I can't do without this person in my life. Or you know the conflict that I have. You know the situation I'm in at work. You know what my boss said. Lord, I just pray that you'd open up your ears and open up your eyes to what's going on in my life. Because I trust in you to take care of it. And I don't look to anyone else. But I just ask, Lord, that you would see. For I know if that you see and that you hear and you know what's going on, that I can trust you. Amen. Hezekiah was very clear in that. He implored God that he would open up his ears and open up his eyes, and he begged God to show the world his glory. Oh God, show the world. He said, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste to all the nations and all their countries. They're just mowing over people, and we're next. They've cast their gods to the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand. Why? That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, even thou only. Hezekiah said, the motivation for my prayer is not that I would be delivered. It's not even that I would remain on the throne. Hezekiah had a hope of heaven, right? I mean, if he were to die that day, he was going to go to be with the Lord. Things would have been easier for him up there than they ever were down here. Sometimes we pray with selfish motive, by the way. And sometimes we say, oh Lord, deliver me so that I'll be able to escape this problem. But Hezekiah said, we're in trouble, but Lord, what bothers me the worst is that you just be lumped together with all those other gods. They weren't gods at all. They were just wood and stone and the creation of man's hands. And they're thrown into the fire. And they say, what's the difference? Oh Lord, would you deliver us in such a way that all the nations would know that you are God and that you'd get the glory? Why do we want a revival in this country? Why are we praying? I hope you're praying for revival. We need to be praying for revival. Not just a revival meeting, but a changing of men's hearts.
Man.
A change in this nation. We don't want it just so that it can go back to the way that it used to be, I hope. Or we don't want it just so that we can be in the norm, or we can be in the popular section of the country. Why do we want revival? Because we want the world to acknowledge the Lord as holy. What I would long to see is you be able to walk down the streets and see all over the place that people are just being dealt with by God. Even if they have nothing to do with Missionary Baptists, I just pray that God would get a hold of people. That He would begin bringing people to repentance of sin. That people would get saved. That churches that have gone astray would come back to the right way. That people would begin calling out to God. And if I have nothing to do with it, I pray that God would get all the glory. I've been praying lately, oh God, these that are sinners that have not been saved, Lord, would you please trouble their heart? And if I'm not anywhere close to them and I don't get to see it, I don't even care. I just want you, oh Lord, to trouble sinners' hearts and bring them to salvation. And I want to hear the sweet testimonies again from people that are converted saying, God has saved me. And I want them to give God the glory. I want to go back to the river and baptize people again. Why? Not so I can say that I've done it. It doesn't even matter if I do it. But I want God to get glory. I want people to see that God is moving. I want the church to be on fire again. I want God to deal with our hearts in such a way that we're excited to come to the house of the Lord. That it's not just a thing that we have to do. It's a thing that we love to do. That the saints of God would be coming to the house of God singing praises as they make their journey because they're excited to go to the house of the Lord and worship Him. Why? Because I want God to get the glory He deserves. He is so good. And He's been so good to us. He pours out blessings day after day and morning after morning. He renews His mercies to us. He provides for us, puts food on our table. He saved our children, given us health. He has been so good to us. And so often we're silent when it comes to praising God. And I long for a day when we can't help it, but get it out of our hearts and off of our lips, that we just want to say how good that God is so that He'll get the glory. And Hezekiah, he said, Lord, don't let them throw the temple away the way they threw these idols away. Don't let them do it because I want all the nations to know that you are the one God and you only are God.
Man.
See, today people say, well, just take your pick. One God, another God, or no God. Just as long as we're all on different roads going to the same place. Oh, you know, Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me.
Man.
I want to lift up Jesus.
Man.
What do we got going on that's more important than lifting up Jesus? Hezekiah said, nothing. Destroy us. Lord, I can't handle to think about us being destroyed because then they'll think we're just like everybody else.
Man.
More importantly, that you're just like everybody else. I'm not much different than everybody else except for what God's done for me inside my heart. But God is.
Man.
Oh, He's holy.
Man.
You can say no to a man, but don't say no to God.
Man.
Oh, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. I just pray that God will get a hold of our hearts and that God will get the glory. I've not given up hope for our nation, because I know that if God gets a hold of things, He can do things like He did for Judah. 185,000 people of the Assyrian army didn't wake up in the morning, and they all looked around. We don't want to mess with Judah. The military didn't even take up a fight. God won the battle. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How long would it take for God to turn things around? Just do it just like that. How long will it take for God to turn your life around? Just like that. You humble yourself before God, say, God, I'm yours. Just like Hezekiah did. Got down on his knees and you know everything, God, I'm yours. God turned things around. Last thing. Trouble in your life is not necessarily a punishment from God that leads us to despair. But oftentimes, it's an opportunity for us to express our confidence in God. Without any trouble, it's so difficult for us to find an opportunity to truly show how much we trust God. Not to embarrass Sister Nicole, but I think she's had more opportunity this last year to show her confidence in God than otherwise she might have had. I thought about Abe again and how the trouble that was brought him, we never would have wished on anybody, but it was because of the trouble that he ended up getting saved, ended up giving glory to God. And how many of us, through some trial and difficulty, have found that it was the greatest opportunity for us to publicly and without shame give glory to God? Trouble of barrenness led Abram to put his confidence in God. And the scripture says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. You know where he was whenever he said, Lord, you've called me a high father, but I have no children. God said, look up and see the stars. And as many as the stars are, and as many as the seas are, or the sand of the seashore are, that's how many children that you're going to have. And the Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He trusted him. He put his confidence in God. Later on, he was 100 years old. He said, you know, I've got a son, but it's not from Sarah. You said we were going to have a child. He said, in the time of life, you'll have a child. Really? Isaac gave more glory to God through his birth because of the trial of barrenness than otherwise could ever have been given. Amen. Trouble of family conflict led Jacob to a brook. Running from his father-in-law and scared to go to his brother, he found himself in a terrible place by a brook. And the angel of the Lord met him there. And he began to wrestle with God. And he was in despair. And he said, God, I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me. The Lord touched his hip, put it out of socket, gave him a new name. No longer shall you be called a heel grabber, Jacob. Now your name is Israel. And your dad, your father's God, is now your God. Trouble with authority led David to flee to the wilderness. Problems with his boss, so to speak. And he didn't know what to do. Samuel had told him that he was going to be king, but he was living with the Philistines. God, what do I even do? But God had a plan. He didn't lay his hand to Saul. I won't take it in my hands. It's God's authority. God prepared him and made him a capable king Why? Because of what he went through with Saul. Trouble of persecution led Christians to evangelize the world. They were all huddled up in Jerusalem, not ready to go anywhere. They were going to stay right where they were. He said, go to all the world and teach people about me. The disciples said, okay. And they sat in Jerusalem until persecution came. And they fled. And they thought, well, what? Aren't we doing the right thing? Haven't we? We've believed on the one whom God has sent. We're trying to serve God. They all fled. You know what they did? Everywhere they went, they started churches. And all the world and so many Gentiles were evangelized because of the persecution in Jerusalem. I guess what I'm saying is that trouble sometimes can be a good thing.
Man.
Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into different kinds of temptations. You could also put the word troubles there. For the trying of our faith works endurance, patience, continuance. We're going to be troubled on all sides, from without and within. And if you're experiencing trouble right now and your heart's heavy, I want you to know God is still in control. He knows what you're going through. It's okay to ask him to open up his eyes to what you're going through. Because you know that God knows. But be willing to be obedient to him. Be willing to go all the way with him. A couple of verses and I'm closing. Behold, God is my salvation. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my song and he has become my salvation. Isaiah 12 and 2. And lastly, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. So many people lead you to a man. There's no help in men. And our hearts know it. What we need is to put our confidence and our trust in God. God bless you. Let's have a song and all stand together. The Lord's eyes are open and his ears are inclined to our prayer. If you have prayer upon your heart, take it to God. He'll hear it. He knows what you're going through. Let's just put our trust in God and be obedient to his call.